Can you turn me like?
So,
Cody!
Sorry, one more time. Come in on one. One, two, three, four. Cody's Podcast.
Hey, Cody here. Here's the deal. Good Day Sacramento is turning 20 years old. 20 years old! It's almost old enough to buy booze. Almost. I've been on the show, I think, 11? Maybe almost 12 years, and I'm still kind of one of the new kids. So I thought what we'd do for the 20th anniversary is do a series of podcasts and talk to people that have been on the show from the very beginning, our newest employees, some of the people behind the scenes that helped get the show launched, some of the people behind the scenes that are on every day now, and just kind of get a history of the show, something that we can't tell on the television because we only get, you know, a couple minutes at a time. We start off with Marianne McClary. Oh, I love me some Marianne McClary. I think she is absolutely brilliant. She is so funny and one of my favorite people on the planet. In this podcast, you'll find out how she got hired, which was a great, great story. You'll find out how she almost left, which was a great story. And you also find out why she agreed to do this with me.
You and I, let's do it like Thelma and Louise. We'll just hold hands. We'll drive the car right off the cliff together.
Without further ado, here's Marianne McClary.
It's just like the rest of the show, you know, you ask the crew to be quiet and...
They never do, Marianne. They never do.
You ask them to keep it down and they just don't. They're so disrespectful.
Well, we've been taping for a while, Marianne. So, Marianne McClary, if that is your real name.
It is my real name, but I thought about a TV stage name. I kind of wish sometimes that I had a TV stage name.
Oh, really?
Only because then you can, you know, own houses and do things privately and nobody knows who you are. But I never thought, you know,
can I throw out some suggested names?
Yes.
Buttons.
How did you know? I was going to go with Buttons McMurphy.
Buttons McMurphy.
You know what I was going to, you know, what I really wanted to do though, uh-huh, is Mary Mack.
Mary Mack.
Because when I was in Las Vegas, one of the floor crews used to call me that all the time as a nickname.
Ah.
And I liked it, but then I went to a station from there and the anchor's name was Mary Mack, M-E-C-K, that I was replacing. So my dreams of anonymity as Mary Mack went out the window.
That's too bad. This is a true story. A friend of mine was named Galen Tetri, was her name. Beautiful name. Isn't that a beautiful name? Galen
Tetri.
It is,
but I have no idea how to spell that, and that's the problem.
Well, that's what they said, and it was in Evansville, Indiana, and they said, oh, we're going to do this promo. Get your daily dose of Galen Daily. So they made her change her name on their name to Daily. And then they never did the promo.
Oh.
So let's talk about this. When you were first hired, you were the first on-air employee, right?
I think Tina was hired before me.
Okay,
I think I was maybe second or third.
Okay, this interview's over because I was
playing. Okay, you want the first person? You want to go get... Hey, Tina! They don't want me now!
So tell the crazy story of how you got here.
Let's see. Okay, so I was working in Phoenix, uh-huh, and I had actually interviewed for a job in Chicago.
Okay.
And flew back there and everything for a morning anchor position, but it just wasn't a good fit. You know, it was a very big union town, and I wasn't coming from a union shop, and things were very defined of what you could do and not do. So I ended up, they didn't offer me the job, and I was glad. I didn't really want to go, and even though it was a phenomenal city like Chicago. And my agent said, oh, that's okay. There's this station in Sacramento that's doing something, and I don't know what it is.
Doing something.
Something's going to be done. And but I know the news director. I've known him for years, and he's a great guy. And he called me, she said, and said, I'm looking for a female anchor who's, you know, listed like five qualities, you know, smart and fun and a good news person.
Tall.
and she's like, oh, my God, you just described a client in Phoenix that I have whose contract is up in 2 months. Oh my God, he said, I gotta see your tape. So we sent him a videotape, and for you kids at home, a videotape is a piece of metallic ribbon that
runs in a
plastic housing that's how we would do our resume tapes back then, right? So she sent him a tape and he loved it. And so I flew up for an interview and he still won't tell her or me what the job is. I didn't know. What they told me I was interviewing for was a nighttime call-in show. Like an 11 p.m. call-in show, which was exactly what I did not want to do because I was coming from a huge, popular NBC affiliate in Phoenix, which is about the same size market as Sacramento. It's 20th or so. And So I came up here all at, why am I, what a waste of time. And so my whole only purpose for coming up here was to leak out back in Phoenix that I was looking for another job to try to see if they would sweeten a deal for me to stay. Uh-huh. So I had no intention of coming here to work. It was just all a big ploy.
Oh, we were leveraged.
To extort money out of my former employer. So so I flew in, and my first thought when I got off the plane was, what a cute little airport. It was the old Terminal B. That was it. Just a little tiny 1.5-story building.
Oh, it's adorable.
Darling.
Yeah, adorable.
Loved it. Mm. And then met Brent Bader, our boss at the time, who was so fun. He's such a fun guy. And then he drove me all over the most beautiful parts of town. East Sac, Land Park. I thought it was so beautiful here compared to Phoenix, where there's nothing green
grows. There's a tree.
Right.
Oh my God.
Is that someone's lawn? I went crazy, but I found myself really liking it here and going, no, I don't want to like it here. I don't care what the job is. So we were driving around, and he said, okay, I got to tell you about the job. It's not what you think it is. But before I tell you about it, you have to sign this non-disclosure agreement that you can't tell anyone else what it is either.
Oh, like CIA stuff.
Yeah. So at this point, I start looking to see if the car has door handles for me to escape out of, because I don't know what's going on. And I said, okay. And he said, are you familiar with the KTLA Morning News, which is a show like ours that's been on longer than we have down in Los Angeles? And I said, oh my God, I love that show. I said, I visited a friend for a week over there, and while she was at work, I watched that show. I could not stop watching. He's, oh my God, he almost drove off the road. He goes, that's it, interview's over, we're going over to meet Elliot. I'm like, great, who's Elliot? So we go hauling back to the TV station, and which at the time was over by Costco in Sacramento, which was not there yet. And we said, we're on the air, for crying out loud.
Come on, we're taping a podcast, it's serious.
Just like the real show. So we go back there, and they tell me that what this thing is, after I sign the non-disclosure, is a 3-hour television show, news, weather, traffic, based on the format of the KTLA Morning News.
Okay.
Which was a phenomenal show. I'm sure it's still, I haven't seen it in years, but I loved that show. And I told them that would be the only reason I would ever want to move to LA was to do that show. So they're like, oh my God, that's what we want to do. Here's the deal. We're launching it in a month. We're starting to hire people. We need a female anchor, and you're pretty much our only choice. If you say no, we have no backup. They had no second choice. And they just laid this in my lap, and I said, okay.
Did the words come out of your mouth, and you're like, what did I just say?
Did I just accept a job in Sacramento? And they said, really? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, what do you make right now? And I told them what I was making. Okay, we'll give you an extra like $3,000. Can we afford that? And they're like, yeah. So they gave me a $3,000 raise from where I was in Phoenix. I left here with a Thomas Guide and a Sacramento Bee and went home and told my friends I was moving to Sacramento, and I couldn't tell them why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't tell them. I had signed this agreement. They said you could tell your family, like your mom and your dad, but you can't tell the people you work with, because they wanted to keep the show under wraps, because Channel 3 on Q58 was also launching a morning show, and they knew about it, so they wanted to beat them to the punch. So they didn't want Channel 3 to get word that Good Day was going on the air, which back then was called The Morning Show, because they didn't want them to up their start date and beat us. You want to be the first horse out of the gate. You want to be the first one on the air with that. You don't want to be the also-ran who's trying to look like the other show that came out, be the copycat, even if your show was planned first, which I don't know. I assume that theirs was planned first, but... so I said, okay.
If it was planned, it was probably planned by them.
Right.
Because that is our way not to plan stuff.
So yeah, so I went home and I started packing. I had a month to quit my job, pack up my house, sell it, drive here, and start this show. And I can't believe I did it. And it's been 20 years. Every other job I've had in TV was, you know, a year and a half, 3 years, 4 years there in Phoenix, and then 20 here.
Now, I don't think I've ever told you this, but I started up a show in Indianapolis, and we got tapes from KTLA, we got tapes from WGN, because my executive producer came from there, and we got tapes of you guys to design our wacky morning show in Indianapolis. So I knew you and Mark and all you knuckleheads before I came out here, because we had watched you guys and we designed that show, and eventually I came here.
But didn't you love the KTLA morning news? It was just the best show.
Yeah.
And then in Phoenix, Channel 3 started their morning show when everybody was going through affiliation changes back then. In the early 90s, they lost their ABC affiliation. So they pulled it a couple of weeks early. They just let it go. And so nobody was ABC for a couple of weeks in Phoenix. And they went to their independent status and they launched this show with Jody Applegate.
Right.
was phenomenal. Yeah. They did a great job. And I remember watching that show and thinking, if I could do a show like that, here's how I manifested Good Day. I said, if I could do a show like that a little closer to home, which was Seattle, where my family is, still out here someplace on the West Coast, I would be so happy. And what happened? I ended up with this.
Now, the only thing I would say is about that is that Jody Applegate used to sing a lot. So
I never did that.
If you could step it up and start singing like Jody Applegate, I think we'd have something that could last. You know what I'm saying? It could last.
No.
Okay, so they start the show.
Yeah.
Your host at the time was?
Stu Olson.
Stu Olson.
Right.
And then how long was Stu here?
3 years.
3 years.
Okay. 3 years. And, you know, we had, and, you know, back then we were trying to figure out who we were, what we were going to be. And we wanted to be everything to everybody, which is, you know, it's like the restaurant that serves everything. It really, you're going to have to kind of pick and choose. And we began to kind of narrow the focus of the show, but we were doing a lot of entertainment, kind of funny stuff. Stu was great. His thing was shooting little videos with a little handy cam. He would run around town and shoot these funny, hilarious little videos. And he'd do gags at the chroma key at the weather wall and have fun with that. But he wasn't particularly interested in doing news, but Brent was waiting for that big news story to hit to put us on the map. And eventually it did in 97 when it began to rain and didn't stop for like a month. And all of Sacramento flooded back when it used to rain here. And we were on the air one day for like 11 hours straight. And people were flipping around because it was New Year's Day and no one else was on. They were showing parades or football games in other parts of the country. And they come across us and are going, well, who are these people? And they're covering local flooding. Well, let's watch and see what's going on, because it was pretty bad. It was, I mean, the Sacramento River, you know, you had to walk uphill to get to the Delta King. I mean, it was so high.
Wow.
And there was just damage in all over the Sacramento Valley. And so we were just on. And that's how we kind of started to pick up a couple of viewers here and there, because people remembered that we were on and that they could turn to us after 7 a.m. when the other shows went to the national shows. And they could watch us and get local news and information. So that's how we started to kind of make inroads, was when the flooding got really bad for those first couple of years that we were here.
Was there a time that you were doing this in the beginning that you're like, this is never going to last? we're all going to get fired.
Elliot Trushinsky, who hired me, who's now at Channel 3, denies this, but he said, when, you know, usually when you sign a contract at a TV station, it's for about, you know, usually 3 years, two or 3 years. And I want to say that we signed, and I may still have it at home, I may have to check, that we all signed 2-year contracts, because he said, we want to see if this thing's going to take off. And he to this day, he was like, what? I never said that. And I said, I swear to you, you said you wanted to see if this was even going to work. Because they were putting a lot of work into it. You know, it's not like they were going to keep going with it if it was a loser of a show. But, you know, our ratings were pretty low for those first couple years. And, you know, they hung in there, and we expanded the show from 3 to, I want to say, to 3.5, then 4.5, then 5, and then 5.5 hours finally.
And
for the love of God, please let it stop.
14.5 hours, isn't it?
Sometimes it feels like it. Hopefully this will end at 5.5 hours. That will be the max. There's no need for any of us to be on air any longer than that.
You know that KTVU over in Oakland is going to start at 4 o'clock a.m.
I hate them already. I hate those people. I hate you.
And I was like, what?
What? No, you can't, because what's going to happen is then everybody's going to want to do that.
Right.
Because the reason we went on at 4:30 was to, you know, get a jump, right? People figure once you've tuned in, why would you tune out? Oh, God. Awesome. I can't go to bed at 6:30 at night to get up to come to work. It's not right.
What's some of your favorite bits that we've done? I know that's hard to do over the course of 20 years, but what are some of them that... most of them, I'm sure, involved me. But some of your favorite bits that we've done, or things that happened on the show that you...
Well, let me just say, since you are hosting this podcast, you are hilarious on the show. Hilarious. The show is not the same without you. You really should be Monday through Friday. Forget those weekend people. Who cares about them? You need to be Monday through Friday.
I don't think the world's ready for me to be Monday through Friday.
You know, you're right. Over 20 years, there have been so many things that I can't even remember. And people keep reminding me of things. Oh, that's right. You know, and this is, I got to try to find this one for the 20th anniversary show. We got a report, and this was one of our old boss's favorite things, cat in a tree.
Uh-huh.
Got a cat up a tree. So what, he sends Marcus Allen out there with a garden hose and a bucket that he's going to get this cat out of a tree somehow. Right. So we go out to this house. I want to say it was in Rockland or Roseville, someplace up there. And Mark starts freaking climbing this tree with this bucket like around his neck with a rope and a garden hose that's hooked up to a spigot in the house. And the cat is looking down at us like, we are insane. Who are these people? Why are they trying to get me out of the tree with a garden hose and a bucket? And so, of course, Mark, the water's getting all over me, soaking wet. And eventually the cat just leaps for its life out of the tree unassisted, like cats always do. Because how often do you find a cat skeleton in a tree?
That's true.
Never.
That's true.
They always come. They complain and complain, but they always come down. I love that. We've had some huge guests come through. We had Sarah, back when she was relevant, Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York, was a huge guest.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Mark dressed up as Austin Powers to entertain her. And she thought that was quite quaint. I loved it the day that David Hasselhoff was here. And you ran down the hall with him in your board shorts. He was a good sport that
day. He was a good sport.
Considering what he'd been through, that whole cheeseburger thing.
Yeah, and he shoved me. Yeah,
oh, yeah. That. Oh, we've had some huge guests on the show. I get kind of nervous interviewing big celebrities like that. I don't love doing it. It's just kind of fun to watch them on the show, but it's just fun. And then it's just fun having, you know, kind of regular everyday people on the show, you know, just people who've done cool stuff.
Let's go back to one segment. I was not
the eyebrows are waggling. You can't see this at home, but the eyebrows are waggling.
There
okay.
was one right. segment that I saw that I wasn't involved with. I think I was here at the time, but I was working weekends. The puppetry of the penis episode.
Oh, God. We went round and round with whether we should do that, right? Uh-huh. This was a show that was big in San Francisco, I believe, at the time, where a troupe of fellows would strip down naked and manipulate their man parts in such a way as to create other images. For instance, a sailboat.
Oh, a sailboat.
Yeah. Or a little whale going through choppy waters.
Was it a full-size sailboat or a dinghy?
I'm going to say, I don't know. I appear to have blocked it all out because the image I have is the image the camera had, which was from the back. So we decided it could be done if we're all on a couch facing the camera and the puppeteer, if you will, had his back to the camera, but we could see what he was doing, but the camera could not see what he was
doing. Right, so we saw y'all's reaction.
Yeah, because what happened in San Francisco is that I think they did it live, and somehow they ended up catching a glimpse of the man parts, and people lost their jobs. I believe a producer was fired.
Oh.
So
that's wrong.
To show naked man parts on TV? Yes.
Somebody probably should have told me.
FCC frowns upon it.
Oh, okay.
Frowns upon it on regular, real television. So we taped it. I think we taped it. I don't think it was live. Okay. It might have been. I don't know. I don't remember now. But this guy was doing things, and the men especially, you know, were cringing. But it was so funny.
I just remember you
guys going.
I just remember
the sailboat. I don't remember the other things.
I just remember you guys going, oh!
And then he would do, because you would see his arms go, like you're making a balloon animal from the back. Picture somebody's arms going all crazy from the back, making a balloon animal. And they go, how about this? And we'll go, wow! Jeez, hey, that is kind of cool, though. Are you kidding me with that? I remember he did one called the hamburger.
The hamburger.
Yeah, there was the hamburger.
I would probably not eat hamburgers for a long time if I saw that.
Yeah, it was disturbing.
I remember the time that the bird attacked the set. That was one of my favorites.
That was a big, like a crane kind of thing.
And it hopped up in the set and attacked you guys.
You know, another thing, we had a hedgehog, cutest little thing. Darling little hedgehog, pooped in my hand.
On television?
On television. I had hedgehog poop on my hand. He was so cute, though, and he's probably so scared, you know?
Yeah, well, you have that effect on people, you know?
Well, if you're a tiny little hedgehog, 5 foot, 10-inch Amazon woman is holding you, even though I'm going...
Was there ever a time that you almost left? Was there ever a time, or did you just, like, once you were in, you were
in? Yes, actually. Very few people know this.
Uh-huh.
Scoop. Pod scoop.
Just whisper it. Nobody's listening.
Pod scoop. I wouldn't say almost left. However, I was courted to leave, put it that way. And I could have probably, if I'd pursued it, left town. And it was to go to Seattle, which was my hometown. Oh. And, of course, my whole career, I'd been wanting to live and work there. Because who wouldn't? I love the rain, and I love green things and water. And so it was a perfect fit. My family was there. And I got a call from a competing news director in town who asked if I would be interested in leaving. And he actually called me at work at the other building when we were over there. Uh-huh. And my desk was 3 inches from the boss's office. And I'm like, who is this again? And I said the name out loud. I'm like, oh, so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, geez, Louise, boss is right there. And I said, can I call you back? Not really a convenient time to talk. So I called him back later. I'm like, now what? Okay, what now? What? So he said that, you know, in a very subversive voice, if I wanted to leave town, it could be arranged.
Wow.
Like, wow, really? And I said, you know, what's your dream, Mark? I go, well, I'm from Seattle. I've always thought I could make that happen.
Ooh.
I'm like, geez, Louise. And it was tempting, but we were only, you know, less than 5 years in. And I said, I appreciate and am flattered by the call and the offer, but there's some things that we're doing, some changes and things that are coming up that I just couldn't. And I didn't fully want to, but it was sort of in the back of your mind, like, oh my God, I could really do that? Really? But did I really want to? And so something was keeping me here. And I just decided to not do it. And so I didn't. And so here I am. And I'm so glad I stayed. I'm so glad I stayed and didn't go up there. So many great things have, just to be a part of this from the beginning, literally from day one. And, you know, I met my tall, gorgeous, amazing husband.
Oh, not him.
Thank God. He knew I was going to bring him up.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Let me just say this, little listeners out here. Her husband, if he wasn't the nicest person on the face of the earth, I'd push him down the stairs for Marianne McClary anytime.
he's so cute. So, you know, there's that. There's just, there's something about living. This is the perfect size city for me.
Hmm.
It's the perfect size. It's like a big city that feels like a small town, and you know how to get around. You can get anywhere in the whole Sacramento Valley without taking a freeway if you had to. Anywhere,
well, you
right?
could. I couldn't.
You could. No, you take Roosevelt Road down. You could come down. You could poke around the back roads.
But I would get lost, and I'd see the arches of St. Louis.
Okay, if you have any sense of direction at all, you can get anywhere in town by not taking a freeway. It's just pretty here. I love it. I love the size of it. I love that you see the same people all the time. It's just, I love the location. I love the history here. I just love that you can park on the street for $1.25 for an hour, for a whole hour, for $1. Like, you know, I love that. There's even free parking downtown sometimes. 20th Street, secret.
Shh.
Yeah.
No one's listening.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let me throw out some names.
All right.
And you tell me the first story that pops in your head.
Oh, they're gonna say like word association. First thing that comes to my mind. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure.
Okay. Okay. Tina Makua.
Crazy. Love her. Love. She is awesome. You know, she put us through quite a scare with her breast cancer 6 years ago. And you really start to, you know, think about the connections you have with people. She was one of the first people I met here. She was hired, I think she was hired in July. So I was hired middle-ish of July, but earlier than me. And just loyal, dear, just, she is what she is, right? It's just good friend. And funny. People do not realize how funny Tina is.
Yeah.
Hilarious. She's so hilarious.
And a prankster.
She's a bit of a prankster.
Yeah, she's a bit of a prankster. Okay, let me throw out Abbott Dutton.
Another good friend. I was her maid of honor.
Oh, yeah.
In her wedding when she married Matt. Mm-hmm. Matthew, the Brit.
The Brit.
Yes. Also, a very sweet, loving person, but very understated, right? Mm. She's the epitome of the still waters run deep. You don't see a lot on the surface emotionally with Abbott, but there's a lot going on down there. Loyal friend, smart, She went through a lot here, a lot of changes. You know, she got caught up in one of the big layoffs that they had back in the day when we were Paramount. And she's rallied, you know. Mm-hmm. She's a big radio star now.
Yeah.
You know, all over the radio, on AM radio.
It's funny because, like, I only know her from, like, parties at your house or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I love her.
Yeah.
And her husband's so funny.
Oh, like, yeah.
Because I lived in England for, like, a ham sandwich and stuff. So
hello.
I feel like, yeah, we're going to bro down on it. Let's see. Let me throw out another one. Let's do Marcus Allen.
He conducted my wedding, which was super fun, right? So he threw a couple of gags in the wedding just because it was Mark doing it. Just a really good guy, dedicated to the show like none of us are. I mean, beyond dedicated.
Yeah.
He will do anything on this show they ask him to do. Anything.
And things that they don't ask him to do.
Right. He does things they don't want him to do. He travels, you know, day and night. Then he does radio in the afternoon. He still has somehow managed to stay married for over 20 years to a gorgeous woman. He has
a saint.
Three amazing kids. Loyal friend. Feels like he never has time for anyone. So he's constantly trying to make it up to everyone. And just a sweetheart of a guy.
What about old boss Brent Bader?
Brent had a vision for this show. Uh-huh. He was in 150% from the get-go. I mean, when I met him, my first thought was, you know, Brent laughs. You know when Brent laughs, like sometimes you're worried he's going to pass out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
he laughs, laughs, laughs. And he was the first person I laid eyes on when I came up here for the interview. He picked me up at the airport. And as I'm trying to hate this place the minute I land, because I don't want to live here and I'm not interested in moving, I meet him, and he's got that big smile and a jolly laugh, and I liked him immediately. Like, he's one of these people, like, I just liked him right away. And I'm like, damn you, why are you so nice? And then he drives me over this beautiful city, and I just couldn't get him. I'm like, oh, God, I'm moving here, aren't I? Yeah, crap.
That was my thing.
What an asshole.
It was always, like, the best was making him laugh when he'd really start to cackle. It was the best.
And then when he would laugh so hard that there was, like, a stretch where there was no sound, like, 4 or 5 seconds, we all, like, look over, like, did he die? Is he all right? And then it was, but when it was his body was gearing up for that, and you just knew. You just knew a big laugh was coming.
That is
hilarious. He was
hilarious.
Just the best. He was just so enthusiastic. I mean, there was nothing he didn't want to do, but he did want to put this show on the map, you know, as a respectable news show to have that angle. You know, he didn't want it to be all, you know, fun and games and goofy stuff. He wanted it to be legit, and so he worked hard to find that balance.
Okay, so let's move on from all the people that we like.
People that we hate? Oh, well, let's see. Where do I begin?
What would you have done if you didn't go into broadcasting? What do you think you would have done?
I've always thought that I would have made, like, a really good psychologist.
Mm.
You know, when I was in college, all my friends, I was the person in the dorm that all my friends came to. Do you have a second? Anything to talk to you for a second? You know, this guy or this girl or this, you know. Yeah, yeah, sure. And so I would always listen and give advice, you know. And I'm like, well, why don't you do this? Because it seemed like I could hear people's issues. And just, it seemed really obvious to me, not being in it, like anything that you step back from. It's like, well, I can see it pretty clearly, you should do this. But, you know, telling someone to do that and then actually that person finding the means within themselves to do things is hard. But I remember telling one friend something and she pauses and she goes, why did I just spend $85 on therapy to have someone else tell me that? You told me that for free. I'm like, well, you think this is free? Hello, pizza. I'm in college. I don't have any money.
It's so nice that you changed my voice for that.
Yes,
thank you. That was very nice.
But I was like, I always thought things like psychology were really interesting and so I think I probably would have been like a good psychologist, something like that.
I think you would have been very good at that.
I was going to be a business major, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I went to college to be a business major because my grandpa had started a company that my dad took over, and then I was going to be the third generation to take it over. And it was a customs brokerage. So things, and since we lived in Seattle, things coming in from overseas, whether, you know, east or west or in or out of the country, you have to go through customs to get in or out. And they would handle that. They handle all the paperwork. They would handle all the destination paperwork and everything. And so when things really were taken off after World War II, my grandpa got in on that and started up this company called McClary Swift. And they had a great office downtown, this gorgeous old brick building in Pioneer Square. And so I was all on board to do that. And then I was short 3 credits in my in my, oh, you put a little background music in?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. I was short 3 credits on my schedule, and I had to have 12 to maintain financial aid, so I had to go find a 3-credit class to take. And I was out of prerequisites. I was too young to take any more high-level prereqs, so I took Introduction to Radio and ended up loving that course. It was super fun. And then we did a second, I did a second one where we did a project that aired locally on the radio. And my professor said, you know, I know you said you're a business major, but I really think you should reconsider. Do communications instead. And he's like, take one more class, and if you hate it, free to go. Huh. And if you don't, you're free to stay. And so I took one more class, and that was the end of that. And
that's
so
crazy.
I told my dad, I'm going to do this. And, you know, he ended up eventually selling the business. None of us went into it.
Huh.
And which is fine, because he, you know, he was like, it was way too much to do after a while. And so he sold the company to his employees, but, and he's always been my biggest fan and supporter.
Oh, it's so, you know, sweet.
He always wanted me to go into management in television. That's the way a lot of dads are. I'm like, Dad, first of all, it's not where the money is. And second of all, I don't want to be a manager of anybody.
Especially these knuckleheads. Could you imagine?
Oh, God, no. So, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. That's very funny. I when I told my parents I was going to go into broadcasting, they were like, ooh, really? Now, meanwhile, I'd never graduated from college. You know, I flunked out of college. I didn't have any money for school. And then I got this job at a radio station, and I bounced around and stuff. And I said, you know, I think I want to do this. And they're like, ooh, it's really hard. You won't do that. Because my grandfather was in radio, and they had grown up in radio, and he was in sales and all this stuff, and he was on the air. And they were like, but he had like a nice voice. You don't. I was like, come on, Grandpa did it.
No, but you're so funny, and, you know, you say things, and I think, why didn't I, would never have thought of that. And you just like roll right out with these things, you know. That's the beauty of Cody Stark.
Yes, let's talk more about Cody
Stark.
Let's talk more about it. It's your podcast, for God's sake. So the show, what you're saying was just a pile of crap until I got on it, right?
Well, no.
Nobody watched it.
But it was fun. But we had a whole different setup, you know. It was 3 hours. Can you imagine?
Three hours now?
How sweet that would be. And on days where they say, oh, it's Christmas, we're only going to make you work 3 hours. Like, why am I bothering to come in? I can do that in a blink, and it's over in a heartbeat, and you're done. 5.5 hours, man, that's a long day if you have to do whole day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a long day, but...
You know, what trained me for that was working at Disney, where you have to pretend to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that explains it all.
Yeah, and then you go down in the tunnels, and it sounds like people have Tourette's. They're like cussing and stuff. They're like, son of a...
I'll have to go back and look at my prior job and see, why am I then pissed off all the time at work? I'm constantly completely irritated with everything I do.
Taco Bell did not teach you to be
happy. No, it did not. Fast food customer service, not a happy place.
Okay, so it's been on the air for 20 years.
Yeah.
This big thing's coming up. It's very exciting. Is it a little...
Stand by! Warning!
Is it strange, or is it melancholy, or are you excited about 20 years, or do you think that it just lasted, it seemed like a year ago, or 2 years ago that this started?
It does. It seems like it just... It does seem like it... It does not seem like 20 years, let me put it that way. It just, 20 years? I've never done anything for 20 years. I mean, you go to high school for 4 years, you go to college for 4 years, you know, you live here for 3 years or whatever, but 20 years, I mean, it's just, it blows my mind that that it would go on this long. I never thought it would go on this long. I don't know, I thought, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. And I really, like I said at the beginning, my goal was to get to Seattle, and I long gave that up. You know, and you know when I give that up, I was up there interviewing. Shh, don't tell the boss. But I was up there, you know, making the rounds, and so I would drop in on news directors from time to time. And I was sitting at the station where I had interned right out of college, the same station, different people now. But and I'm sitting there, and it was like a movie moment where I'm sitting there, and the guy's talking, he's yakking on, yak. And I just started to drift off and had this inner monologue with myself that I can picture now, right? Why am I here? Why am I in this guy's office? Do I really want to leave Sacramento? I have a great life there. I have a great job. They love me there at my job. I have a great house. I have great friends. It's a great city to live in. Right? And I thought, why am I trying so hard to leave there? why am I trying so hard to leave there? And so I kind of cut him off. I'm like, hey, you know what? I should probably get going. I didn't realize, oh, look at the time. I've got a plane to catch, literally a plane to catch. Oh, well, did you want to? No. But thank you so much for your time. And that was it. Right then and there, I decided I'm just going to stay in Sacramento for as long as I want to.
How much longer do you want to do this?
How much longer is in this podcast? Really?
No, not the podcast. Do you see another 5 years, 20 years, 30 years?
Are they playing? See, they're playing. Do you hear what they're playing? Boston.
They're playing Boston.
Still have Marianne walking away. A couple more years. No longer than five.
No longer than five?
No longer than five. Five max. Maybe 2 to 3, probably, realistically. Hubby's already got retirement in his sights. Mm. And, we want to... Sorry, Cody. I didn't want them to play that until later.
I don't...
He's got retirement already out there for us. He wants to retire and travel while we're young enough to go have some fun and enjoy it and really be able to get around town and, go ride bikes in Amsterdam for a couple years. Yes. And walk the beaches of Spain for a couple of years. And everything we read says, when you can retire, go. Don't get caught in that trap of, another year. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're 75 and you forgot to retire. And so, just a few more years and then I'll be happy to hand it over to somebody else. And good deal will continue whether I'm here or not.
I tell you what, when you decide, you and I, let's do it like Thelma and Louise. We'll just hold hands. We'll drive the car right off the cliff together. We'll just go together,
Marianne.
You're
too young. What are you going to do? You're too young to retire. Like Tina said the same. She was like, when we go, let's go at the same time. You let me know when you want to go, and I'm going to go with you. So that's the two of us, but you're only like 40-something. What are you going to do?
Sure I am.
What are you going to make? Bow ties and podcasts for
yes,
a living?
Yes, bow ties and podcasts. All the money in the world's in bow ties and podcasts.
So I hear.
I don't know. It's the hours are what concern me.
It's tough.
Aging me quick.
It's aging all of us quickly. Mm. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to get up at 2:45 and roll out of bed with the same enthusiasm I did back in the day,
I'm lucky because I just have no other skills, so I'm just kind of stuck
here.
I'll just keep doing this forever.
Oh, please.
But no, I'm telling you, I'm offering up Thelma and Louise. You and me over the cliff.
And Tina? Thelma, Louise, and
Let's
Tina?
Let's do it.
Can we just jump off this set? It's only like a 8-inch drop. That's...
Probably because we all have bad ankles.
I'm getting old now, and I don't really want to leap off things. Could get hurt.
Well, thanks for doing this.
Sure.
Happy 20th anniversary.
Thank you.
I feel like I love Marianne McClary.
Oh, stop.
I do.
We can't do the show without Cody. Mondays and Tuesdays suck around here, man. Nothing against the people who fill in. They're fine. But Mondays and Tuesdays really suck.
You need a little extra snark in your life. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Snark and stark.
Stark and snark.
Yeah. But join us August 15th. There will be cake.
There will be cake.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the 14th.
August 15th. There'll be leftover cake.
Can you edit that for the post? And so when it airs, people know that I know the anniversary date is the 14th and not the 15th.
Well, after 20 years, you're getting older. You forget stuff.
It's also my mother-in-law's birthday, so I have no excuse for forgetting that
one. Leftover cake on the 15th it is.
Done.
Thank you.
Thanks, Code.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, there you go. Marianne McClary. How charming is she? She's the best. Absolutely the best, even though she can't remember the day of the actual anniversary. Okay, got to thank a couple people. One, my friend Celeste, who's been trying to get me to do a podcast forever. She's just so supportive, so sweet. My buddy Matt D, he's probably the biggest fan of the show ever. And my friend Summer, who does her own podcast called Outlander Pod. It's about the show Outlander. Heard her sister do it. Even if you don't watch the show, you should listen to their podcast. It is hilarious. Okay, there's more of these to come, so stick around. More in the history of the show via audio podcast.
Cody's Podcast.
Yeah, but join us August 15th. There will be cake.
There will be cake.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's the 14th.